we've been talking about judgment for quite some time, about who does the judging and the difference between God judging and us judging as from the flesh, okay? We told you that some of the things that we were going to go into later on was going to be submission and what? Being committed, right, to something. The scripture talks about submitting yourselves unto God. See if you can find me a scripture, that one that says submit yourselves unto God, and it says several things after that. And there's a second one that says submit to those that have the rule over you also, for they watch for your souls. That's true, isn't it? And we're talking about, actually, guys, we keep thinking it's men. It's really that angel that's watching over you. That's really what it is. It's the angel of the Lord watching over you. You submit unto that. But how do you hear that angel? How do you ever get to the point where you're going to be able to image that angel? By hearing the truth that's being preached to you and taking you to that place. Does that make sense? But there's another one that says submit. How does they put it? Yeah, that's it. That's it right there. Read the verse before too, I think.
James 4:6. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resists the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble.
Woo. So what's going to be the first step, guys? What is it talking about right there? It mentions a couple of words that clue you right in. What does he say about proud, and what does he say about humble? And how is this humbleness going to work? By doing that, resisting. You see that? Read it again, Ernest.
But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resists the proud, but giveth grace to the humble.
Wow. And grace is that ministry of God in us, for us, to help us to make it, right? It's him performing the works. So that's what's going to, the first thing God wants from us is to get the mind of a humble servant. So, humble. Sorry, if you're going to be a servant, do you have to submit to your master? And if you're not humble, will you submit? You will not. You will not. And then the grace cannot work, can it? Because you won't let God minister in you because you're too proud. It's just like somebody saying, oh, I've already overcome pride. Well, you just revealed to us it's still in you by making that statement. You see what I'm saying? It's a slippery slope, guys. What God is trying to tell us is that first there has to be a humbleness of spirit to want to be a servant. To want to be. We don't want to be the servant. We want to be the king. We want to be the ace, man. We want to be the top dog. We want to be. Our nature is to put ourselves. It's like Christ said, you know, the guy comes in and takes the chief seat. And then a greater than him comes in, he has to get out of it. The guy, the host has to walk up to him and say, man, the mayor's here. You're going to have to get out of that seat. You're just the CEO of the local company. The mayor's here now. You're going to have to get out. I use the natural example. But this is what I'm trying to tell you. Now think of spirits. There's a spirit that calls itself the man of sin. But when Jesus comes on the scene in your temple, he's going to tell him, now you have to get out. You see what I mean? There's going to have to be somebody else on that throne, in that seat. And it cannot be the man of sin. This is what, and the only way that's going to come is if you humble yourself first and allow the Spirit of God through his grace to manifest himself in you the way he wants to. Let him minister. Let God do the work. Does that make sense? It's a letting, man. Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. Let a man examine himself. Doesn't it say those things? It uses the word let. Let that be done, man. The reason it puts the let in there, because it's your choice. You have to come to it where you're going to do it. Let this mind be in you. He didn't say, I'm going to force this mind to be in you. He said, let it be in you. So you have to drop something to allow it to work. You know what you have to drop? Everything that's against it. Every antichrist spirit, every thought that makes itself known that you think you're in charge and that you have the authority and that you're going to be justified, that all has to go. This is part of sanctifying yourself in the Lord. Does that make sense? If you sanctify yourself, you're saying this, I'm going to do whatever God says and not what I want to do. Moses, you hit the rock twice, and I didn't tell you to do that. And then you said you were going to fetch the water for the rebels, that you weren't getting the water. I was. I provided it. So now you can't go into the promised land with the group. You see where I'm going? You did not sanctify me in the eyes of the people. He did something, and he could be justified in that, like John was saying. The people had vexed him to the point where he said, oh, my God, these people. And then he allowed that to do what? Cause him to sin. Is that true? So why did Peter have a problem being in prison? Expectation of the people. Wanted to live up to that expectation, man. And let me tell you, he wasn't talking about like people in a group here. Where were his people at? In him. Where was the angel at? What had to come and rescue him? His angel. You get it now? This is what he's talking about. There were expectations in him. Herod had an expectation in him. I'm going to kill you. And, ooh, you see what I mean? That's why we can't fear what God's showing us at the time. Because if he hadn't gone that route, Herod never would have been gotten rid of. He had to go the route that where there was murder planned, everything. We say, ooh, I don't want to go that way. God said, Peter, you must walk that way. I'll be there with you. I'll uphold you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I'll be with you. You see what I mean? That's what we got to realize.
You know, Pilate, too, the Pilate in you goes has an expectation of the people, the other thoughts in within you, and sends Christ for crucifixion because those thoughts, those other thoughts need to be pacified, so to speak. So within the Pilate within you, it's very complicated in that the thoughts within that realm also would crucify Christ also.
Yeah, and they were moved by fear, John. You know, Pilate actually feared because they said, we're going to tell Caesar that you're recognizing a king other than him if you don't do something. He was the governor. He said, hey, that's where my bread and butter is, man. I better take care of this. But he did say, I find no fault in the man. Didn't he say that? And then he said, I wash my hands of it. Well, he couldn't. If he's the governor and he has to give the leave for it to be done, you see what I mean? So you can't wash your hands of that. He said that. He did a ritual for that. But here we come back again. What's the real nitty gritty? He could have done the right thing, but he did not. God already knew he wasn't going to do the right thing. It's by that that crucifixion came. That was the purpose for Christ coming. So that wasn't going to change. You see what I mean?
The point is this justification.
Sure.
He's created justification, and he's, as Paddy likes to say, rallied the troops toward that end.
Yeah. We all do that.
Yes.
And that's how we justify our thoughts, even if we hate someone. That's how we justify it. Yeah. We say they deserve to, you know, da 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 da. Really? Who made you judge? Remember the man who ran to Jesus and said, hey, you know, my father's dead and inheritance and all this stuff. And can you make my family give me what's supposed to be mine? He said, man, who made me a judge? He actually says, who made me a judge over you in those type of matters? You catch it? He is the judge, and he would have judged righteously. But what he's trying to get the guy to think of, hey, don't use that as excuse for not following me. You get it? Don't use that. That's not going to work. Follow me regardless, no matter what's going on back home or in your mind or with family or with those other spirits that you're dealing with. Follow me. Just drop it all and follow me. That's what he wants. Isn't that cool? It's being a disciple and a follower of Christ, that's what he wants. So this thing about the scripture you read about submitting, Ernest, let's go to the next part. You talked about what's needed first, the humbleness of spirit. We have to be humble to be a servant, guys. If you say I'm going to be a servant, you got to be humble. That's it. Then what else do you have to do?
Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you.
That's a pretty plain thing, huh? You draw nigh to God, draws nigh to you. Resist the devil, and he will flee. It's when you don't resist. Brian talked about this. When those lusts start rising up in you, he said, oh, he sends his woman, doesn't he? That lust, all that stuff, to be sensuous, to draw you, seduce you. Isn't that true? Into what he wants you to do. He has something. Remember Jesus said, the prince of this world cometh, he has nothing in me. But when you having all those lusts set up, he said, oh, I see something in you. So I can come to that. What if you resist him, though? He has to leave. Because then you're not following that lust. You see the difference? So once you start doing the resisting, whew. So, but the first thing it says to do is submit, doesn't it? Submit, submit, submit. So I say this to you today. We have to submit to forgiveness. We have to submit to patience. You know, a lot of things that we do because we're impatient. I'm talking about in our thoughts even. How many of you realize how impatient you are in your thoughts and that you're hasty in putting things together? Doesn't it say if you're too hasty, you become a fool when you set your foot in the house of God because you're hasty? We don't have any patience. But let patience have her perfect work. I'm finding out some of the things that the way my thought was going, you can justify yourself and say, I'm going to put it this way, guys. Justify yourself and say, I'm an elder. So you could justify things, right? You can't. Either it's going to be right or it's not going to be right. Either it's going to be according to God or it's not going to be according to God. Okay? There was an apostle, a person that was made an apostle, made a disciple, just like all the others, but didn't make it. So it said, let someone else take his bishopric. And that already been prophesied, right? Jesus said, have I not chosen 12 of you and one of you is a why? So it can be manifested. So you can see how it works. Isn't that true? So do you think there are things that God pops up that look horrible in you and he's trying to show you how it works? Could it be, Terry, that when things rise up and you say, why do I think like that? But is God trying to show you how it works? The method that it comes by? How it seduces, how it deceives. You think maybe he's showing you the method? That's why you got to pick it apart, don't you? How did that even get there? When did that happen? What was I thinking? How? Start picking it apart so that you can understand that this is not normal for you. Your mind is supposed to be in the mind of Christ. So anything other than that, that's antichrist, and it starts making its way in, and you get there's going to be manifestation. You're going to be angry. You're going to be offended. You're going to be this. You're going to be that. There's going to be a lot of things. And then you say, wait a minute, that's not God. That's not God. So then you have to go back and pick apart. Why did I react that way? Why did I do that? How? What was the method? Where did it come from? You have to question it. If you never question it, you just follow the pattern. Anybody ever been lost? Go to a city and been lost? Didn't have any directions, didn't have nothing. You're trying to find your way, right? And sometimes it's kind of uncomfortable because it may be dark already. You're trying to find your way to your destination. Anybody ever been in that situation? Does it feel good? Not at all. And you're so happy when you finally do make it the right way. Somebody gives you a direction. You finally make it to the right place, and there's the light on. It's waiting for you. And you feel better, don't you? Because now you're not a stranger in a strange land anymore. Isn't that true? You've gone from being a stranger in a strange land to having found a place to abide. Isn't that true? That's a good thing. That's what God's trying to do for us. We've been wandering a long time, been in darkness a long time. Now he's trying to show us. Remember, somebody get the 1 Corinthians 4:5 for me. And this is why God says what he says. Actually, you got to read 1 through 5. Because Paul says some very neat things there. We're almost done.
1 Corinthians 4:1. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself. Yet am I not hereby justified. But he that judges me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. And then shall every man have praise of God.
Now, does that make a lot more sense now? This is what God's doing for us, guys. It's time out. We don't want to be the children of Israel wandering in the desert for 40 years. We just don't want to be. Okay? That's not our goal. That's not our destiny to be that. We're beyond that. We're the children of God that are making our way after the leading of the Father. We walk in the light as He is in the light. That's what we're doing now. God is bringing us to a place where all those grounds are being manifested, but the good ground is increasing 30, 60, 100 fold because we're learning from what we're seeing from the others. This is what God is doing. He's bringing us through experiences of not here in the physical realm, through experiences of understanding and wisdom, things like that, so that we can be resurrected and start. So we're experiencing resurrections. We're experiencing great things. We're coming out of the depths of those waters. We're being born again. Those type of things are what's happening with all of us, whether you think it has happened with you or not. God is bringing us to a place where He's showing us it is possible for you to become your destiny, the destiny He gave you from the beginning. How many of you have a stronger sense of the possibility of it now, that you can be, that this is something God is well able to do? You got to be a Joshua and a Caleb. He's well able to help us take the land. I don't care how many giants on the other side. You see where we're going with this? So God is building our confidence by these understandings, by the things that we're doing. And if we apply them to us truly, as opposed to just hearing and walking and going our way, but actually apply them to us truly, there will be changes made. There'll be so many changes, and it'll happen quicker than you think. There'll be great things happening. So what I say to you, let's submit. John brought up the thing about relationships. Sometimes you have to be able to forgive people for the offense you're in. They offended you. But if you can just forgive and forget all of that, then the offense will go away. And when I say forget, I mean actually forgive. That's what I'm talking about. Because then it'll be as if it never happened. If you do it according to the grace of God, because that forgiveness has to work from heaven too, doesn't it, Ernest? If God can touch your heart by the Spirit, do you think that can cleanse? As opposed to you just say, how many times somebody said to you that they forgive you in this realm, but that every time they see you, you still get the ugly look? How many times? Or how many times have you said you forgave somebody, but every time they come in your presence, oh my God, your mind starts going a different way? Isn't it? So why not let it be done spiritually and let God cleanse it? Now that would be it, wouldn't it? So all of these things we've learned about judgment, now we're coming into submission. Can we submit to the Spirit of God and to the Word of God? Can we submit to thinking on these things that God hath said? Can we submit to the understanding that He already has it? Do you know God's given every one of you a word of faith? Every one of you, you've heard preaching over and over. There's been word given to you by faith. Every one of you has that measure of faith. So now you just have to walk on it. You know, just keep walking with it and increasing it by believing. Isn't that the key? And trusting God. What did James talk about? Didn't he talk about trusting? Let's trust God. God will do what He says He's going to do. So now one of the things about this submission, if we're going to really understand what judgment is, will we submit to have patience and forgiveness and love? You see what I mean? Those are the things that we're going to need in order to make it. Those gifts, aren't they? Those fruits on the tree. This is not just mouthing something, guys. This is living something. And when you live something, you live it from here. I'm talking about in God. Does that make sense? So we'll be talking more about some submission, maybe even some more about judgment to go along with it. But there are things that you have to submit to if you're going to be a servant. And that's humbling yourself. Does that make sense? So under the mighty hand of God, so that He can do what? As you humble yourself, does He lift you up? Whew, that's powerful. then you get lifted up. Not lifted up like a man is, but God places you in a higher place. I'd rather have him do it than to me try to raise it up in my own mind and be in a high place. Then that pride is working again, isn't it? But let God do it. Let God do it, and that'll be the best thing.